Okay. Daf Lamed Aleph Omud Beis. About halfway down in the thin lines. Tanu Rabbanan. You see, the first word on the line is Malve. This is Tanu Rabbanan. You see where we are? Ein kohanim rasha'in la'alot b'sandaleihem l'dukhan. V'zo echad mitesha takanot she'etkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The fact that the kohanim don't go to duchin, that the kohanim go barefoot, is one of the takanot of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So what do you mean that's a takanot of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai?
I mean, what's the problem?
In the Mikdash, everybody was barefoot. Oh, so that's the Takana. See, Rashi says, "Shenosin kapehen." Right when they go up to do Birkat Kohanim, v'masechet Sota mefarish ta'amad perek ve'elunim. Gemara in Sota explains why this is. We'll come to that momentarily. What do you think?
I have experience with that in the old days.
Oh yeah, right. You were once a Kohen.
Currently a Kohen.
Oh yeah, you're also a Kohen. You're still a Kohen.
Do you mean? Yeah. What I recall was the reason was that it was because if you wore shoes, then you might like trip over them, and it was avoiding the whole issue of needing to trip, which is why. It's okay to go up in socks. Not late by it like they have
it. In the Beit HaMikdash, they wore linen shoes the whole time.
Well, like
it wasn't wearing
linen shoes are
all right to wear.
Socks.
Right, but that's what they wore, and that's why they went up to Duch HaKohanim. They were wearing that anyway.
Right, so in other words, because in the Mikdash, there's a din of Morab Mikdash to be barefoot. Right, it's one of the ways that we show our respect for, you know, just like Shal Na Alecha Mi'al Raglecha. Right, in other words, when you're on holy ground, being barefoot is a sign of respect. But it's not inherently connected to the duchening in Beit HaMikdash. Because everything in Beit HaMikdash was done without shoes. So obviously, the Kohanim duchening in Shul today, going barefoot. So on one hand, you might say, well, Chazal thought that there was, like, wearing shoes on your way to Duchen might cause problems. You mentioned this idea of tripping. There are other ideas which we'll encounter. Or possibly you might say,
well, we're actually shoelaces with the word Indian.
Shoelace is another particular problem. I mean, Ikar Adin, if you wear shoes, at least non-leather shoes, like slip-on shoes, non-leather slip-on shoes. So Mikar Adin, that's mutter. Nobody does that. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, right?
They meant slip-on shoes for tefillin?
Very few.
My dad had a
very few. Some do.
My dad had a minhag.
The yekim. So if you go,
yes,
because if you go to Ol Nechama, they have these little cubby holes with these little like shower shoes. Right. So I'll say it again. Almost nobody does it.
No, but my dad on Yom Kippur, we often wear material shoes without, which are just basically slip-ons,
right,
which we wore. My dad used to wear those during Kohanim and Yom Kippur.
It seems strange when I've watched Kohanim's hands on Yom Kippur and they take off their shoes. It seems strange. It's not a shach. If you don't wear sandals, the Isur is sandalim in both of them. So if you don't wear sandalim, if you're not supposed to wear sandalim in Yom Kippur and you're not wearing sandalim, then what is the problem? Why do you take off your shoes?
That's the point. It's not a din of being barefoot. Right? In other words, everybody presumes that you have to be barefoot to duchen. No, you can't wear a variety of categories of shoes. But Lamaisa, except for Kibbutz Shluchot and other bastions of Yekishkeit, so everybody does go up barefoot. I've never seen anyone here in this shul go up with slippers on.
No, because it's not convenient.
Okay.
But I wonder if the, I really wonder if in Europe, if it was when you dochened a few times a year,
it's cold.
If, and it was cold, and you would have, you know, then maybe it was a thing because it was like, you know, I remember once I had to dochen and I went and the there was a leak in the shul that you didn't know. It was like leaking onto the rug in front of the aron, and so you got up there and I was up there in my socks, and it was soaking wet. And I was like sick for the rest of it. I mean, I was like, I had nothing I could do. I didn't know. I walked on this like completely wet rug, and I ended up having to, because I imagine in Europe there
was. Yeah. Anyway, Talu Rabbanan, Ein Kohanim Rasha'in La'alot B'Sandaleim L'Dukhan, V'Zu Achad Miteisha Takanot Shitkin Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Sheet the High Pirka. Six of these nine Takanot of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, six of them are mentioned in this parak.
This parak of Rasha.
Yeah, that we just learned. Sheet Bahai Pirka, six in this chapter. V'chada b'Pirka Kama, and one in the first chapter. So that comes to
seven.
And now we're going to tell you the other two. Now, what are the six and the one? In other words, if we were going to be having a test, so you know, you could be assured that naming the six takanot of Yochanan Ben Zakkai that we've learned would be on the test.
Shofar and Shabbat.
Shofar. What are you reading off of?
Lulav Kol Shabbat.
So, in this, shofar was blown in Yavna on Shabbos. Number two.
Lulav
Kol Shiva. Number three. Chadosh, right? That they wouldn't eat chadosh the whole day of the 16th, right? Even though technically speaking, after Churban Abayit, when there's no Hanafata Omer, it would be mutter from the crack of dawn. Number four.
Kabbalat witnesses all the day. Witnesses
right.
Of the month
it, when Beis HaMikdash Kayam, they would only take the witnesses up until the afternoon so that it wouldn't be last minute and cause problems. Once Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and they were still doing Kedush HaChodesh, they could do it all day long. Number five. Havad. That was, we saw that last week. As it used to be that the Edim would go to wherever the Rosh Betin was. Hitzkin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, they would go wherever the Betin was. So as to not discourage people from coming, because I'm going to schlep there. He's not going to be there. I'm going to be out of luck. And number six, this inyan about the Kohanim and being barefoot for Duchni.
Not barefoot.
Okay, not wearing sandals. Okay. And what's the one that they had in the first parak? Don't you remember the first parak? We're coming up on a siyum. We're going to make another siyum.
Okay, see it here.
Oh, you can be Mechal Shabbos.
To be witness for.
Witness for the Chodesh only for Tishrei and Nisan. As it used to be, Bizman Shabbat HaMikdash Hayah Kayam, the witnesses could be Mechal Shabbos for all the months. Mishachar of Beis HaMikdash, and there's no longer Korban Musaf to get right or not to get right. So then they're only Mechal Shabbos for Tishrei and Nisan because of
Rosh Hashanah
and Kippur and Pesach. Okay. Right, but if you know Rosh Hashanah, then the others fall in line. Ve'idach, the Tane, and the other one, meaning the eighth one, the Tane Gershinit Gayer, Bizman Hazet Sarech Shiafrish Rova Lakino. A Ger, when a Ger would convert and he would get Bris Mila, or he or she would go to Mikvah and have Kabbalah's mitzvos, the Ger would bring a Korban Ola. The Korban Ola was made up of a Ken Sipurim. You know what a Ken is? A nest, but it's a ken, is a nickname for a pair of doves that they would bring as a korban for the ola. So there was a halacha that when there was a takana that when a ger converts today that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, he should set aside a quarter shekel.
How are you? Where's the bottle, mate?
He's a bring.
He said you're gonna bring a bottle.
You come empty-handed. You cut the turkey without.
From my Gemara, what do you mean empty-handed?
We can't drink your Gemara. All right.
I came here to learn. Well, I didn't come here to drink.
Your presence alone is gift enough.
We came here to drink.
Come on over, I'll give you a drink.
So, in other words, Bizman HaZeh, the Ger, can't bring the Korban, obviously, but he should set aside a Reva Shekel, which was the cost of a Ken Sipurim. Mashiach Vilt Kimin, Beis HaMikdash shall come. So then he has got the money set aside to bring his Korban. And that's the halacha, right? If somebody converts, and in that Ger's lifetime, Beis HaMikdash will come, they have to bring that Korban at whatever point that is. So the takana was, you should set aside the money already in anticipation of this Korban that you will have to bring.
What happens to that money?
And that's exactly the problem. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar kvar nimna la Rabbi Yochanan ubitla mipnei hatakala. Because what happens to the money? When you take money and you set it aside, you designate it that it's money for a korban, then what is the status of that money? It's hektish. So all the gerim, 2,000, I mean, how many gerim have there been in 2,000 years? Some, right? I mean, not millions and millions, but that would be an interesting question. How many?
Well, there were quite a few during the Roman times. 10% of the Roman Empire was Jewish. And a lot of them were gerim, but
it would be an interesting question. How many, since Korban Bayit, how many gerim have there been?
And the Khazar Empire. Okay.
Assuming that's a historical reality.
Something, probably.
Yes. So all of those shkalim would be hektish, that would be rolling around, unable to be you, and anybody that would use it would be over on Mi'ila. So he made a takana that this is not the case. When the Beis HaMikdash shall come, then the Geirim will bring their korban, but they don't set aside the money in advance.
You can imagine that maybe he was still optimistic that it would be a quick turnaround after the korban.
Say it again.
Anyways, he made the first takana. Yeah. He figured, all right, how long can it be before we build the Midrash again?
Oh,
when he got was realizing it was taking a long time.
No, the first takana wasn't his.
Says it's the first takana of Yochanan.
I thought it was his. It was number.
It was one of the. It was one of his.
It was number eight.
The Tane Gershnit Kair Bezman Azet Sarech Shiafrish Rova Lakino. That was a halacha. But then his takana was Kfar Nimna Le Rabbi Yochanan. Ubitla, mipnei hatakala.
Rabbi Yochanan.
Oh, is it Rabbi Yochanan? His takana was to cancel it.
This doesn't sound like his takana. His takana was kilu
the opposite. No, this is the idah the tanya. No, it's not.
And the other.
Rav Shekhar Dahenu Chatsi Dinar Amduvik.
This is number 7.
This is number 8.
Right. There's no other way to get to 9, but it doesn't sound like a takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, because he was making.
Who else could make a takana like that?
No, but he was making takana like how to manage without a Beit HaMikdash.
But from the Korban. If it was in his lifetime, he would have been able to make that takana.
Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana was to cancel this.
This takana was done after the korban.
The takana was done after the korban, obviously.
Who else was? I mean, who was to make takana after the korban? It wasn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, at least in his lifetime. He was the guy. No, I mean, is that his?
I don't know.
Was there anyone else who was making takana after the korban?
I don't know, so maybe he made the takana and then canceled
that,
his own takana.
That seems like that.
But it's not the kind of takana that he made. He explicitly made.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
To manage how to manage without a Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah. So this is a takana on how to manage without a Beit HaMikdash. Why?
No, because it's like this is like saying, oh, Beit HaMikdash is going to.
No,
because
remember what we said. Remember what we said. There are two different types of Zecher LaMikdash. One is to like lulav. What kind of takana of Zecher LaMikdash is that?
remember what it was like in the time.
To remember what it's like, to recreate it, to act
right.
it out.
But if you thought the Mikdash was going to be rebuilt tomorrow and you had the money in your pocket, you wouldn't need a Zecher the Mikdash because it's coming tomorrow.
Right, except for the fact that sometimes, if we tell people, bring lulav extra days. So it's more mitzvah, it's more remembering Mikdash, it's more reenacting the Mikdash. But in other cases, if we tell the Gerim they have to designate this money, so then it's trying to deal with the absence of the Mikdash by saying the absence of the Mikdash poses all types of technical problems. We don't want to flood the market with coinage that anybody who uses it is going to be over on Me'ilah.
Right.
And therefore, it's better that we're not canceling the korban that the Gerim have to bring. But right now, Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Eino Kayam, they can't bring it anyway.
Right, which is consistent right. with the kind of the man. It's not consistent to say that, I mean, I don't know, like to say that he was the one that originally instituted that you should put aside the money. But,
Veidach, and the last one, Plugta. Right, there's a machloket what the ninth takan of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was. The Rav Papa and Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Rav Papa Amar Kerem Rivai. Rav Papa said there was a takan about Kerem Rivai. You know what Kerem Rivai is?
Fourth year of a vineyard.
If you have a vineyard, so the first 3 years it's Orla. The fourth year, it's called Kerem Revai, the fourth year of the vineyard, and it has the status of Maser Sheni. The fruits have to be brought up to Yerushalayim to be eaten and celebrated with in Yerushalayim. But if you live very far away, what can you do? You can be poded, you can redeem it, and then bring the money and use the money to buy fruits in Yerushalayim on the Shalosh Regalim. But the question is, who's allowed to be poded? What's far away? Right? In other words, in theory, it's more convenient for everyone to be poded. Right? Because, look, if you have a kerem, you get an awful lot of grapes, after all. Right? You're going to schlep them all with you to Yerushalayim? And when you get to Yerushalayim, you're going to eat them all on Yantif? You'll be with the Shulshul the whole Chag. It's always going to be more convenient to be poda, right? So the truth is, for other fruits, we allow anyone to be poda if it's more convenient. But for
fruit is called netaravai.
Netaravai, yeah. But for kerem ravai, for grapes, which obviously grape has a elevated status, both on our table in its liquid form and, you know, as a fruit, for grapes, the halacha is that unless you live far away, you must bring the grapes to Yerushalayim. So, what was the takana? Oh, and Nachman by Yitzchak said that the takana had to do with the lashon shel zehorit. The lashon shel zehorit was the skein of wool, right? That they would use to indicate when the Se'era Mishtaleach went over the cliff. But we'll come back to that in a second. So Rav Papa Amar, Kerem Revai, Titania, Kerem Revai Haya Ole Yerushalayim Mahalech Yom Lekol Tzad. Vizu Hi Tchuma. If you lived within a 1 day's walk of Yerushalayim, you could not be Podeh the grapes. You had to bring the grapes. So what were those borders of a 1 day walk to Yerushalayim? Eilat min hatzafon, Eilat, different Eilat. The exact identification of this Eilat is not clear. What does Steinzelt say?
Let's see the location. Let's see the
side. Eilat hatzafon.
No,
he doesn't give a place.
No.
Eilat min hatzafon, ve'akravat min hadarom. Apparently, that's someplace in Drom Har Chevron. Lud min ha-Marav, v'Yarden min ha-Mizrach. Right?
in a day's walk.
If you weren't carrying grapes, maybe.
That's the point.
It does seem like a long day's walk to me.
None of these are that day's walk.
They walk fast.
I mean, you don't physically carry them.
Says the man that walked from Anchorage, Alaska to Buenos Aires.
Jerome Har Chevron is also, Abraham did it in 3 days. And he had donkeys.
Well, you also had a kid, and everybody knows if you have kids, everything takes longer.
This kid was like 30.
45.
Let me tell you.
Still left at home.
I had to do something today with my 23-year-old. It doesn't matter. A kid is a kid. Amar Ula, v'itema Rabba Bar Ula, Amar B'Yochanan, Matam, Kedei La'ater Shukei Yerushalayim B'Pirot. What was the reason that they required these people within a day's distance? Because the whole point of Neter of Kerem Ravai was to decorate the courtyards, the marketplaces of Yerushalayim. Should be full of fruit. It should look beautiful. It should look bountiful.
So they're referring to all fruit, or is it just to grapes here?
No, so in other words, all fruits were brought, but you could be pode all the other fruits if it was a schlep for you to bring it. Even if it's less than 1 day, but netta, but grapes is a special din. You cannot be pode if it's within this circumference. V'tanya kerem revai hayalo l'Rabbi Eliezer b'Mizrach Lod. Rabbi Eliezer had grapes in the eastern part, and as he was like right inside the radius, right? He was to the east of Lod. Betzad Kfar Tavi, uvikesh Rabbi Eliezer lahafkiro la'aniim. Right, he wanted to make the grapes hefker. Why?
That he wouldn't have to
schlep them.
Confused for a second. Isn't this the Karavai is still relevant after Chorbanavai?
Yes, it's still relevant today.
For the idea of that Tershukei Yerushalayim Bepirot was that.
I see you haven't prepared ahead, David. But you're anticipating, even in your lack of preparation, you're showing your intelligence because you're anticipating exactly what Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai is going to say. So Rabbi Eliezer lahafkiro la'aniim. Amrulo talmidav, Rabbi kfar nimnu chaverecha alav vehitiruhu. He says, what are you going to be mafkir? And as he was going to be mafkir in order to get out of his obligation, as had his kerem been a kilometer to the west, he would have been in the clear, right? So, and is it, basically, what's the point? He is like on the gvul. He's just like on the wrong side of the gvul. So he has to schlep his grapes further than anyone else in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, look, it's better I'll be mafke the whole thing. Better me to lose out on the whole thing and give it to the aniyim than to have to schlep. So they said, wait a second. Your friends have already assembled and voted and decreed that it's mutter. Why?
Because
Bizman Azeh Yerushalayim's Bechurbana. So we're not doing any, we're not, by bringing the fruits to try to decorate Yerushalayim, what's it going to do?
It'll bring shame to Yerushalayim in a sense.
It'll bring shame. First of all, there's no Aliyah LaRegel. Right? It'll bring shame to Yerushalayim. Lipstick on a pig. Pardon the expression, not to compare Yerushalayim to a pig, chas v'shalom, right? But in other words, they were mevatel this decree that you had to bring the grapes.
Not clear that it was possible to go to Yerushalayim.
By that point, there wasn't the divorce.
No.
Why is it before Hadrian?
Because of Yochum Rezakim. It was Yochum Rezakim.
Right? So man chaverecha, who were your friends that canceled the requirement to bring the Kerem Ravai? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So from this we see, what? This was the ninth takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But what's the problem? Because it doesn't say Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tikein X. It tells a story. There's a halacha. The halacha is about the borders, the parameters of who has to bring the grapes. And then you have the problem of, like, what do you do after Chorban HaBayit? As David so intelligently perceived. right? And then they say, "Oh, your chaverim already said that you're not required to do it." Who are the chaverim? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So from this, you see, this was another one of the takanas of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai after Churban Bayit. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Lashon shel Zehorit. So he said, no. The ninth takana had to do with the, that's the word, skein, like a bolt of wool. That, al pet lashon shel zehorit to Tanya barishona hayak koshrin lashon shel zehorit al petach ulam. Initially, they would tie the wool to the entrance of the ulam. You know what the ulam is?
I know what an ulam is.
The Kodesh.
Oh, okay.
Mibachutz, on the outside. Hilbin hayu smechin. Lo hilbin hayu atzevim. That's when the Se'er Mishtalech would go over the cliff and all the Averus would be forgiven, so this red wool would turn white. And it was a sign that, it was a miracle, it was a sign that
all was forgiven.
That all was forgiven. Emes man eda. Hitkinu shiu koshrinoto al petach ulam mibifnim. So he said. Then they moved it as they got closer and closer to Churban Abayis, and as the situation got worse and worse. So they moved this right. It was like a flag. It would be a way to indicate, right? So they moved it to the inside, right? Because what would happen if it didn't turn white? People would get despondent. Right.
I imagine it was probably frequently remaining red if a korban was coming.
Exactly.
What I was going to say, they should leave it outside so people say, "Oh, we're doing something wrong."
Apparently, it wasn't having the desired effect, and on the contrary, it was making people depressed. And in their depression, they were, you know, sometimes you say, "In for a penny, in for a pound." I mean, if we're not being forgiven for our sins, we might as well go whole hog. Vadayin hayug matzitzin v'ro'in, but the people would still. But they would, even though it was inside, or maybe they moved it inside just so it shouldn't be so brazen, right? The idea that here we're flying a flag with our Averas on it, right? To show we're Balei Avera, right? So they moved it inside, but people could still see it because the doors of the Ulam were still open. Hayus mechin lo yilbin hayu atzavim. Hitkinu shiu koshrin oto chetzio basela vechetzio ben karnav shel seir. So what would they do? They would take it, the Ish E.T. would take it out, wherever it was, probably not far from here. Is there a tiul?
Yep.
There's got to be a tiul, but ikvot the Sarah Mishtalech.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Amitim.
Have you ever been? So to where? Where do they show you? I mean, the Gemara says it wasn't a specific place. Right? Any cliff would do.
But. It wasn't an obvious cliff where I went, but... I don't remember the road now where we went, but yeah,
it's like northeast of
mostly east. Through these Arab towns east of Mali Adumim, and somebody like figured out, okay, so like, you know, how many kilometers it has to be, it's got to be a hill. It was like, you know.
I was interested to take a look at two of going from Gay Ben Hinnom to the cliffs of Azazel. You can say like Gay Ben Hinnom, Azazel.
So anyway, so what in the end they would do, they would tie half of it to the goat's horns. And they would tie half of it to like a rock there on the cliff, and then only that little group that was out there, with the guy throwing it off the cliff, they would know, right? And they kept half of it behind as the litmus test to see that it all worked out, and then later when they got back to Beis Hamikdash after Yom Kippur, they could report, but it didn't, you know, destroy, right? Like imagine there you are, you're up there at Neil, right? And I can imagine there was like a barometer. Right, yeah, you're getting all lebedik, and everybody's with you, and they're davening. Like, you know, as the chazan, like the crowd is with you, they're not with you, right? But imagine there was like some kind of like barometer that was showing, like, you know, how much people were.
I don't think you'd get me up there if there was a barometer.
Right. And then imagine there was like some kind of like applause meter or something, right? You know, so like it would destroy the whole thing.
Right.
So that's exactly what it was. Like, you know, I mean, you know, there are all types of like external things that could ruin. You know, it's like such a delicate, like the. To channel all of that energy in the room. You got a couple hundred people in the room. It's the end of the fast, right? It's a very delicate thing that you're holding in your hand. And anything could go wrong, right? Somebody could pass out, right? It's happened, right? Somebody could, a kid makes noise, you know, that really disturbs things. An adult makes noise that really disturbs, right? Whatever it is, you can ruin it. It can go flat very easily. So it's the same thing. There they are in Beis HaMikdash, and the thing doesn't turn, right? It could ruin the whole. Bein Karnav Shel Seir Mishdalech Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mai Taima. So why did Mai Taima Lo Amar Rav Papa? So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who said that it was the takana was the lashon shel zehorit. Why didn't he say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana was the thing about the Kerem Ravai? Right? Did you understand the machlokas? But so he says. So why does each side insist that they are correct in identifying what the ninth takana was? Because nobody says there were ten. You know, like, and as you might say, the Gemara says, well, taka and achinami, there were ten takanas, right? And there are other takanas that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made that are not connected to Beis HaMikdash. Right? But these are the Beis HaMikdash takonis. So Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my time at Lo Amar Kerem Papa. Why does he deny that the whole story about the Kerem Avai was in fact Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana? Omer lecha isal kedatcha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai chaverav de Rabbi Eliezer mi hava rabo hava. So wait a second. You remember the story? They said to Rabbi Eliezer wanted to make his kerem hefker so that he wouldn't have to schlep it. And they said to him, what are you worried about? Your friends have already taken care of it. So if the friends are Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Eliezer was not a colleague of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was a student of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So it can't have been Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that made that takana.
Well, either way, that's the problem with that, because it doesn't say chaverecha, it says chaverecha. So clearly there's more than one person involved.
Okay, but then it's Rabbi Yochanan, the bezdin of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
It could have been. The two of the guys in the bezdin were his chaverim, and one of them.
Oh, you're really cooking with oil today. Right, ve'idach. So enachinami. How does Rav Papa insist that it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Kevan de talmidim havu lav orach ara lemimra. Right, le rabbi, rabcha, ve Rav Papa. Oh no! So wait. So that's Rav Nachman. So since it's not appropriate to call him your chaverecha because it was his rav. So Rav Papa, my time alo amar ki Rav Nachman. Wait, no. Mi ava rabu ava v'idach kevan de talmidim havu lav orach ara lameim relay l'rabbe. No. I'm sorry. So how does Rav Papa still insist that it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Because the people that told Rabbi Eliezer that the takana had been canceled were Rabbi Eliezer's students. So it's not polite for Rabbi Eliezer's students to say to Rabbi Eliezer, your Rebbe. Right? In other words, there's Rabbi Akiva, and then the next generation is Rabbi Eliezer, and then there's Rabbi Eliezer's students. So Rabbi Eliezer's students don't tell their Rebbe, your Rebbe. They say, your rabbinic colleague. Right? Because the generations all get flattened. right? That is, you're either a Talmud or you're a Rav. So once you're a Rav, so from the perspective of the Talmud, they're all on the other side. They're all Chaverim, right? So okay, so it can be. You can't prove anything from the use of the language Chaverecha, right? Because from the perspective of the Talmud, that's how Rav Papa can still say that Kerem Ravai was a Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Taka, Rav Papa, why doesn't he agree with Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok and say that the Takana had to do with the Seira Mishdaleach? Rav Papa, my time lo amar k'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Omer lacha isal k'datcha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. If you want to say that this takana about moving the Lashon Shel Zehorit was made by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, b'mei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, mi hava? How could it have been in his time, Lashon Shel Zehorit? V'atanya kol shnotav shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai me'ev esrim. According to Chazal, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived for 120 years. Arba'im shana asak beprakmatia. The first 40 years he was a businessman. Arba'im shana lamad. And then the next 40 years he was a yeshiva bocher. Arba'im shana limed. And only in the final 40 years did he come into his own as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the teacher and leader of the Jewish people. V'tanya, 40 shana kodem shenechrav habayit lo haya lashon shel zehorit malbin, ela ma'adim. In the final 40 years of the Beit HaMikdash, it always turned red. It always got deeper red.
That's a good proof.
V'tnan.
Wait, how does that prove anything?
Because the math doesn't work out. V'tnan mishacharav habayit Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? Right? In other words, when
it says basically, Simon says he was only active after Chorban HaBayit.
Right.
Yeah, and besides, all this takanot were after Korban HaBayit, right? So what was, there was no wool after Korban.
Well, the story was certainly he was a leader at the time of Korban HaBayit.
All these other takanot were after Korban.
But in other words, the takanot about the crimson wool had to have been made 40 years before Korban HaBayit, when he was still...
Why 40 years before?
It was thick another 40. You're saying it was thick another 40?
Because it was still turning white.
Why?
That's what it says. He'll be in Smechin. No, he'll be in.
Yeah, but he wouldn't know. No, you make the takana, it's going bad. Things are turning red. If it ever turns white again, maybe we still have a chance, then we'll start putting it back. You know, but
No. But the point is, the takana was made. They moved the location of the Lashon Shel Zehorit at least 40 years before Chorban HaBayit.
How do you know that?
Because during the 40 years before Chorban HaBayit, it never turned white.
Yeah,
but I don't know when they moved it. Is
that doesn't
because they moved it at a period when sometimes it was turning white, sometimes it was turning red.
When it was red, it never was white. Okay.
But so it had to have preceded the last 40 years. During 40 years before, he was not yet in a position of making takanos. So it couldn't have been Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's why Rav Papa does not agree with Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok.
120.
That's what the Gemara here says. The Gemara is the Brice here says they lived to be 120. 40 years he worked. Right. 40 years he learned for. So it was in the 40 years when he was just learning and not yet making takanos.
I assume that there are people who don't view this model of working for 40 years, learning for 40 years.
And it's whatever it is. The point is that I presume there are people. I presume that there are people who don't accept the idea that he lived to be 120.
No, I'm saying today. This is not a model for many to follow. This idea of working first before you.
I see. Yes. Yeah.
You gotta learn first.
Yeah, presumably in those 40 years he also learned to ride a bicycle, and he was diaper trained, and he was other things happening. But he didn't go to work, you know, from day one. Although it fits in with the Rambam's idea about how to leshalesh your day, right? And as the Rambam says, you should. What are the hours? You should like work for 6 hours and learn for 12 hours. It's shlish and shnei shlish.
Sleep.
What?
I'm sleep.
Yeah, well, that's the other 6 hours.
No, the Rambam definitely would say sleep for six.
Yeah, and as the Rambam understands, you need 6 hours.
Either sleep for eight or sleep for four.
I don't remember the exact numbers. V'idach. So how does Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak insist that this was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai if the dates don't work out? Otam arba'im shana delamad talmid yoshev lifnei rabo hava v'amar milta v'staber ta'amei v'kava rabbe b'shmei. So enachinami, this takana was made when he was still merely a student, but you know what? He was a very smart student. And when the rabbis were sitting around knocking their heads trying to figure out what to do about the depression that was coming over the people on the years when the wool wasn't turning white, young Yochanan ben Zakkai, not yet Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai, said, well, you know, if you move the location, it might, you know. And they said, oh, Taka, he's very smart, and they'll do it. And they made the takana in his name, even though he didn't make the takana because he wasn't yet in a position to make takanos, but he came up with the idea, which was made into a takana by others.
He was Talmud Hillel.
He was, yeah.
Hillel, I guess, was the one who made
it. So Hillel made the takana, but he did it, you know, based upon the advice of, you know, it's like Lahavdil, like, you know, in the Supreme Court, you know, the cases are written by the justices, but sometimes the reasoning is, and the argument is made by the clerks, and the, you know, even though they're not the, they don't paskin the, you know, issue the ruling, right? But it's the same thing here. The Mishnah. Seder Brachot Omer Avot. This is for the Musaf Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah Musaf. Seder Brachot Omer Avot de Gvurot de Kedushat Hashem. The Kolel Malchiot Imahin. In the bracha of Hamelech HaKadosh, you include the Malchiot. Ve'enan Tokeya. Kedushat Hayom V'Tokeya. And then you say the bracha of the Kedushat. What's the bracha of Kedushat Hayom for Rosh Hashanah?
Israel.
Because
that's not how we do it.
It's not how we do it. Zichronot v'tokeya, shofrot v'tokeya. V'omer avoda v'hoda birkat kohanim. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, im eino tokeya l'malchiot, l'mahu mazkir. Wait a second. What's the whole point of this malchiot, zichronot, and shofrot? It's to have tekiyat, to say the 10 psukim, and to blow shofar on them. So if you connect Malchiot to Kedushas Hashem, and you don't blow on it, so then what's the purpose of saying the Malchiot? In other words, really, what would have been a different way to organize the Amidah for Musaf Rosh Hashanah?
Could have had 4 brachot.
I mean, 10 brachot.
Right?
Now, the first three are always the first three. The last three are always the last three. You need to have in the middle, usually on Shabbos or Yontif, what's in the middle? Kedusha Sayyom. Mekadesha Shabbat, Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. Right? There's the one bracha in the middle that substitutes all the bakashot for a normal weekday Amida. So what's the problem? You still need the Kedusha Sayyom, but then you have these three other brachot. So okay, you could have had Shalosh Rishonot, Shalosh Achronot, Shalosh Rishonot, Kedusha Sayom, Malchiot Zichronot and Shofrot, or Malchiot Zichronot and Shofrot, and then Kedusha Tayom, and then the last three, then you would have 10 brachot. Except what? We don't have 10 brachot, we have 9 brachot, which means Kedushat Hayom has to somehow get combined with something else. So the Tanakhama says, no, you take Malchiot and you combine it with Kedushas Hashem, HaMelech HaKadosh. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, HaMelech HaKadosh stands on its own, and Kedushas Hayom gets combined with Malchiot. And then you blow shofar on Malchiot, which includes Kedushas Hayom, and then on Zichronot, and then on Shofarot. Yeah, Rabbi Kiva, im eno tokei al Malchiot, lama hu mazkir? What would be the point of saying Malchiot without shofar? In other words, they're intimately connected. Ella, omer avot ugruot ukedushat Hashem, v'kolel Malchiot im kedushat Hayom, v'tokei, zichronot v'tokei, shofar v'tokei, v'omer avoda v'oda v'gbirchas kohanim. And that, in fact, is daloche. So the Gemara says, Omar lo Rabbi Akiva im eino tokea la malchiot lamahu maskir. Lamahu maskir rachmana amar idkar. What do you mean? In other words, the Torah says you should say malchiot zichronot and shofrot. So even if you don't have tkiat shofar, you still say that. Horaya.
Shabbat.
On Shabbat. On Rosh Hashanah on Shabbat. Right? And it's even times of Beit HaMikdash. Not everybody was davening the Mikdash. Right? So the idea that you could say Malchiot, Zechronot, and Shofar without Tkiyat Shofar connected exists. So he says, wait, first of all, what does this mean? What does it mean that the Torah, Rachmana Amar Idkar, the Torah says you should mention?
Idkar means mention?
Yeah, Dalet is a Zion. Azkir.
It's Zikron Torah or Yom Zikron. Zikron is
the... Well, in other words, the idea of the 10 psukim is not Minat Torah, after all. But it's an asmachta on what Rashi says. Rachmana Maritkar, Kidatani Bebraita Lakaman. Right, the Gemara is going to mention. Ella Lama Eser, Lema Tesha. So in other words, then you can say, like, you know, what do you need 10 psukim for? You only need 9 psukim? No, in other words, you have to have it with the shofar. Then the Gemara goes on. No, so here's what we should pause here. Oh, next week is Purim.
No elections next week.
Maybe we'll have elections again next week. No, so next week is Purim is
next week?
Monday night, Tuesday.
Right.
So Tuesday night we're not gonna have shir?
I probably won't be in any shape of Purim.
It would be entertaining, but I'm not sure it's advisable.